Praise the Lord, church. Hallelujah. It may be Wednesday night, but hallelujah. We're going to have church today. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, there's a little CGC challenge that kind of goes around this church and amongst the young ministers. Don't tell Pastor because he's not here, but we have what's called the preacher challenge. Occasionally, we'll be challenged to insert a little something in our message, and I just want to ensure you that I am going to be mature tonight and deny my challenge that I was challenged, okay? And on that note, I'm so glad that you're not angry birds in here and that you all drank of the lake of wisdom and came to church tonight, so we're so glad to see you here tonight. Praise God. All right. Praise God. Praise God. It's so good to see my brother and his wife. They came all the way from Tucson, Arizona to hear me preach tonight. Praise God. I'm so proud of my brother. I was joking around with him about telling off on him, telling some stories of when we were kids. You know, I finally have the mic and he's way down there and my mom's right there, so we could just kind of like, I could just let it go right now, but no, let it go. I remember, though, as a kid, some fond memories I have of my brother, and it was sometimes it's some of the simple things. I remember my brother had a paper route, and he would go out in the mornings, and he would do his paper route, and he would come home, and he would wake us up. We didn't have cable, but we got on that little TV, and we click, 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 found that dial, and we had Mr. Magoo that we would watch in the mornings. I don't know if he remembers that. And we were watching Star Trek before it was cool, right? Amen. Praise God. My brother, I love him. He's such a great guy. I look up to him. Praise God. You know, I come to church and I think about a lot of times we hear the stories being preached in church. We've heard this story. We've all heard this one about the prodigal son. Amen. And the prodigal son is a story about a young man who squandered away his wealth. He went to his father and he said, "Father, give me the portion of the inheritance in which I deserve," and then he wanted to take that, and he went out and he wasted away all that money. And the young man came back, and the part that I like to focus in on that story is this. He had a brother. He had a brother that was the good guy. He had a brother that went to church every Sunday. He had a brother that, you may be seated, I'm sorry, unless you really want to. He had a brother that loved God, and he would come to church every Sunday, and his brother got mad when the prodigal son returned. He got mad, he got angry, and he said, well, because the father broke out the calf, and he broke out his rings, and he broke out his garments. He was excited that his son had come home, and he was angry, and he was bitter, and he was upset because he said, well, how come I've been here this whole time. I've been a good guy. And the father basically said to him, you've had access to all these blessings. All these blessings. And I think of that. When we come to church, we have access to all these blessings. We come to church Wednesdays and Sundays. Amen. So if you're here today and you have an ailment or whatever it is, praise God, the Father is here and He wants to give you that blessing. He wants to bless you tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I was hoping to kind of bust out of here like anyone ever go to the rodeo? They see the bull riders, they go on and they hang on for 8 seconds, but I don't know, it's Wednesday night, I'm comparing my sermon to 8 seconds, I don't know. I'm just kidding, but praise God. Praise God. I just want to pray right now, Lord Jesus, thank you for this day, and thank you, God, for the privilege and opportunity to serve you. God, I want to invite you right now to come in here to minister in this place. We open our hearts and our minds to you, Lord. We pray, God, that you would speak into our lives right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I teach Sunday school on Sundays. Most of you know this. Some of you may not know this, so I was kind of hoping that you would allow me to use your imagination right now, and if you would, my message kind of goes in line with what I'm about to do. But if you could close your eyes for a moment, if any of you have ever had to call 911, you hear on the other end of the line, 911 emergency, and then they ask you what your emergency is. And I've had to make this call, actually not too long ago I made this call. So my wife and I were driving down the road and somebody jumped from a vehicle in front of us. And my son has made this call a couple times on my phone without even me knowing about it. And then you get the call back, and then the police show up at your house to make sure everything's okay, and your neighbors sit there and wonder what's going on at the Solberg house. Praise God. But hey, I want you to use your emergency, if I may. Praise God. And we're going to imagine for a moment somebody making that call. 911 emergency. Help. Help, please. I need help. I'm hemorrhaging. There's blood everywhere. I can't stand the pain. It's so unbearable. Please, please send help now. My marriage, it's broken. It's gone. I loved her so much, and now it's gone. What happened? I lost my job. Depression has me bound. Please, can anyone hear me? I have lost my kids, my babies, my precious babies. Oh, what have I done? How did this all start? It seemed so simple and harmless. And now I have nothing. Nothing. Can anyone help me? Praise God. Praise God. Tonight, I want to speak on the subject of give me my stuff back. Praise God. I love looking out and seeing Brother Paris. And I love it when Brother Paris gets up and he sings that song, I Want It All Back. And boy, does he really get with it. In fact, the choir said, hey, what song you want to do for altar call? And I said, can you do that one? They're like, no, you can't do that. Only one man can do that, and that's P. Amen. But you know what? How many of you have ever had something stolen from you? I think of a couple times in my life where there was stuff stolen. One time we moved to Madison. My parents moved around. My dad had a job with a company that moved us a lot. We moved to the Madison area. And his company put us up in this little place. And I remember one time somebody broke into our car, and I think they stole a cell phone or something out of the car. And you just feel so violated. You feel so violated. When I was a young guy, one time I had a loud stereo system I put in my car. I paid a lot of money for that stereo. And, you know, the only good thing I got out of it was it got stolen. In other words... It was quite the stereo. It was just, you know, it was a foolish thing to do, and you know, but when somebody broke into my car and they took it out, I remember feeling so violated, so helpless. I mean, they just came in and they pushed their way into my space and they took what was mine. And you know, I just felt just like so like untrusting, and I learned that when we moved to the big city of Madison, it was just, you know, you learn quickly that you can't trust everyone. I moved from a small town, so praise God. Well, today I'm not building him up in one bit, but I would like to talk to you today about the thief. All right, so there is a thief in our lives, and I just wanted to help reveal him tonight, okay? He's pretty deceiving and conniving. And I am not at all trying to exalt him in any way, but I am trying to reveal him for what he truly is. Amen? The book of Ephesians is a good book in the Bible. I really love the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians was written by a guy named Paul. And Paul... when he wrote the book of Ephesians, he was writing the letter to the Ephesians. He was writing that letter from a prison cell. He was writing that letter from a Roman prison cell. And I enjoy Ephesians so much because it's got such good meat to it. But then I think about the context when Paul is sitting in prison. A lot of my favorite scriptures that we tr- that we know and love come from Ephesians, like the armor of God. We all talk about the armor of God. If you can imagine for a minute, Paul sitting in prison, staring at the big, strong Roman soldiers, bearing their heavy armor. And he started to think, and I think Paul had a little bit of Sunday school teacher in him, and he started to think, wow, look at that helmet. You know, and he started to think about salvation. I'm going to call that the helmet of salvation. The breastplate he's got on, man, that is something. Look at that. Boom, nothing could get through that. Look at the arrow. There's dents on that breastplate from all the arrows he's taken. And, you know, he's like, I'm going to call that the breastplate of righteousness. And he went through the line and he wrote about the armor of God. And Paul was looking out. I like to think that Paul had a window. And he looked out into the city. He looked out into Rome. And if you know anything about Rome at this time, we all hear stories or maybe even have seen some movies of Rome where they have the arenas, the mega arenas, and they have fighters that set up in the arenas, and they fight lions, and they have people battle each other, and they have all kinds of sporting events. And I think of like Rome, and I think Paul was looking out at the Romans, and he started to see something different. He started to see, yes, all the sin and the idolatry that was going on in Rome, but I think that Paul looked out into the city and he had compassion for those people because he knew that they were just puppets. He knew that those Roman people were just puppets. Yeah, Eleanor's going to help me preach tonight. He knew those Roman soldiers were just puppets. And Paul, this is one of the scriptures, Ephesians 6:12. Paul wrote this scripture to the Ephesians. He said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Have you ever come out of church and you're driving home and you have an argument with your spouse, and you sit there and you wonder, what was that all about? Or Michael said, no, not yet. Have you ever, you know, done anything and you sit there and you're like, what in the world? What was that all about? You know, maybe some anger came upon you or something like that. And, you know, the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm here to tell you there is a devil and he has a mark on you. And he is very crafty and deceiving. He is very good at what he does. And he wants to tear you down. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The Bible says the devil is like a lion, a roaring lion. He's stalking you. He's looking for your weaknesses. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:4, "In whom the God of this world blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." He blinds our minds. See, if we're not prayed up, if we're not in the Spirit, the devil sneaks in. And he can blind our minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel. So John 8:12, "Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Excuse me, shall not walk in darkness. Praise God. The devil likes the darkness, but Jesus says, I am the light. He wants us to walk in the light. Amen? Hallelujah. The devil likes to pollute our minds. 2 Corinthians 11:4 tells us that the devil is a chameleon of light. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." He can cloak himself, so to speak. How many of you have ever heard the saying, a wolf in sheep's clothing? John 8:44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, but because there was no truth in him, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar. And the Bible says, and the father of it. He's the father of lies. He's very good at what he does. Some of us, when we think that we're so big and tough, we can outwit the devil. You see, the devil's got a lot of experience under his belt. Because before you were ever thought of by any of your loved ones, your parents lived this earth, and your grandparents lived this earth, etc., etc., through the generations. And through those generations, the devil has been maniving and twisting and pulling at people's ears and pulling them down and telling them what they want to hear, whatever it is that they want to hear to fill their itching ear. It started way back in the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden. The devil went to Eve. Everything was perfect in the Garden of Eden. And the devil went to Eve and he tempted her. He said, hey, why don't you eat of this fruit? And Eve knew that that fruit was forbidden. And Adam sat right there and let her eat of it. And the devil, he talked them into it through the serpent. He is a conniving chameleon. Praise God. Isaiah 14:12-15. How art thou, I love this scripture. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? I don't know if you're here tonight and you knew this or not, but how art thou fallen from heaven? You mean the devil came from heaven? That's right, he did. The devil was an angel, in fact, in heaven at one time. But as we go on to read, his attitude got a little too big for him. And I say I like the scripture because I laugh at it, because it just reveals how stupid our enemy really is. Because here he is up in heaven where everything's perfect and beautiful, and this dummy backslides from heaven. How stupid is that? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, and I just want to pause here. Bishop has told us for years, your attitude determines your altitude. The devil backslid in heaven because of his attitude. For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And if I'm not mistaken, the Bible goes on to tell us that God just commanded one angel to remove that little pest. One angel, without much effort, sent him down. And the Bible says that when he did it like lightning. And I think that some people don't realize this, but when the devil was coming down, he came down in such a furious like speed. He came down and he was struck so hard that I think that it transfigured him. I think that it made him the ugly thing that he is today. And that's why he hides in darkness. The devil wants to hurt us. Why? Think about it. If you can't touch God, who can you mess with? Who can you mess with that will try to hurt him? If I want to get at somebody, you can try to mess with their kids, right? We are the children of God. We are heirs to the throne. And the devil wants to take every one of us down because he knows that we are created in the image of the Father. And he wants us to be taken down because he knows it will hurt God. And the devil knows also his ending. Praise God. Praise God. I just want to talk to you about some open doors. You know, we talked about the enemy. He's a crafty chameleon. So what are some ways that the enemy gets into our lives? Well, Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." He looks just like everyone else. He talks just like everyone else. He sounds just like everyone else. He has a way of making whatever it is that sin seems so desirable. He can take it and put it on a silver platter. But at the end of the day, it's still sin. And the Bible tells us that God hates sin. God loves us, but he is not going to tolerate sin in heaven. And he has demonstrated that by kicking Satan out of heaven. So Satan has learned to look into our lives. He's learned to look at our weaknesses. When you look at a pack of lions, you look at the lions, they don't go for the biggest, strongest bulls in the herd, but they'll look for the weak calves or the sickly bulls that they could pick off easier to have for a meal. And the devil knows that if he can find us in a weak moment, he can tear us down. He can take us out. So the Bible tells of ways that we can grow spiritually. We can grow spiritually through prayer, through fasting. We can grow spiritually through reading our Bible and our church attendance. And it's funny because some of those are the first things to go when we start to backslide. When we start to backslide, our prayer lives die down. We don't feel like praying as much. It loses its appeal. We see Bible reading as boring. My friends, I'm here to tell you that if you're not reading your Bible, you're not feeding your spirit. We draw strength from God's word. Praise God. And we draw strength from praying to God. You need to find a place if you're having those kind of thoughts and attitudes, and you need to have a breakthrough. You need to break through to Jesus and say, "God, I need you. God, please touch me and help your word. Open it up to me. Make it exciting again. Make it fresh again. I want you to make it just like I was when I first got the Holy Ghost and I came in the church and it was fun and exciting." You need to come to church. You may not feel like coming to church, but you need to come to church, especially when you don't feel like it. You need to fast, folks. I hate fasting. Just look at me. I love food. They opened a new Chick-fil-A on East Wash, by the way. You know what, though? We got to fast. We got to starve out our flesh. We got to starve out our flesh. Nobody likes it. We've been doing a church-wide fast, and I'm so thankful for a man of God who set forth these fasts. Yeah, they may not be fun, but you know what? That's what they did in the Bible. The men of God would say, "Hey, I want everyone to fast." And he would call not just the men to fast. He would call the women to fast. They would call the children to fast. They would even call the animals to fast. It was a serious thing. Praise God. And look at what the people who did that, those were the ones that God said, "Those are my people. They're hungry for me." Praise God. So when we start to weaken in prayer, when we start to weaken in fasting, we start to weaken and we start to allow other things in our lives called strongholds. They can be established. And those strongholds, when they come in and we allow them to be established, they are what the name implies, a stronghold. It's something that when you let come into your life, it's not easy just to say, "Oh yeah, I'm going to get rid of that thing." When strongholds come into our lives, they start to separate us from God. So we look at the Bible, and the Bible talks about some strongholds. Some, I say, there's more than we're going to talk about today. The first one is pride. The Bible says that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Bitterness. Bitterness is another stronghold. If you have bitterness in your heart, you need to get rid of it. You know, I want to go back to pride, actually. I kind of jumped over that one, but, you know, a lot of us men, we struggle with pride. Women struggle with pride. Everyone struggles with pride. I think of pride in my life as pride is the times when I should have said, yeah, I was wrong, you know, but we don't like to say that, do we? And pride is when we realize that we're going the wrong way, but, you know, we're just going to keep going that way because we're right, you know. And anger can be a stronghold in your life. It's easy to get angry, and the world can make it look cool through characters like the Hulk. Just goes in a little fit, but when I look at anger, people with anger issues, I think of toddlers, I think of little kids who don't get their way and they throw fits. But you know what happens when you grow up with anger as an adult? It can lead to holes in the wall. It can lead to police being called in your homes. You got to get that under control. In fact, when I deal with kids in Sunday school, a lot of times, you know, sometimes I'll have kids that have anger issues. I sit them down and I try to paint a picture of the future. You may be able to get away with this now, but if you act like this when you're an adult, guess where you'll be? Sexual sin. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Sexual sin is one of the strongest strongholds to get out of. We don't like to talk about it, and we sure don't like to reveal it when we have these problems. But if you are dealing with a problem like that in your life, please find help. Whether it's a pastor, go to them and just say, hey, I'm struggling with this. I, and just let them know and pray about it and get a plan. Because if you don't get a plan, you'll fall again. I learned a long time ago that when my wife goes to bed, guys, I go to bed. It's a smart thing to do. Shouldn't be hanging around in places of darkness. Just little lying. Lying is so easy. We can all lie so easily. So hard, especially if you're backed in a corner, to tell the truth. But lying still is sin. Stealing. It's so easy to steal. Sometimes we look at things as not stealing, but, you know, like when Nicole stole my heart. Idolatry. This is a huge one. God abhors idolatry. God hates idolatry. And when we think of idolatry, I got to tell a joke. I'm sorry. My sister-in-law was teaching a class, and she was over here and telling this class. She was teaching the class about idolatry. And she told the whole story of idolatry and how idolatry was terrible, it was a sin. And finally, by the end of this class, this young girl was so confused. She said, idolatry? What's wrong with idolatry? I said, my mom shops at the Dollar Tree all the time. No, idolatry. It sounds like idolatry. Praise God. Can I ask you a question, though? Is there anything in your life that is more important to you than Jesus? Is there anything in your life that you spend more time with than your Lord? Examine yourselves. Make sure, because we have to ensure that we are putting God first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Praise God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Praise God. The Bible tells us that our God is a jealous God, and he does not want idols in our lives. So whether those idols, you think of an idol, you look in Rome and in Greece, and they had those big sculptures or whatever, and people worshiped them. But idols can come in all shapes and sizes. It's football season, guys. I love certain things in my life, but am I putting more of that time into that than I am with God? Jesus deserves our number one, to be our number one priority. Praise God. Murder. You think, well, I'm not a murderer, but I sure killed that joke earlier. Murder. You think of murder, you know what? The Bible says we may not be murderers, but where's your heart sometimes? Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's a scripture in the Bible that says that if we hate somebody, we're doing it in our mind. So we have to be careful. And that could go back to anger and connect with that one. Unforgiveness. This is a huge stronghold. Unforgiveness. But they did me wrong. But I have every reason to not to forgive them. You don't understand what they did to me, you think to yourself. But it doesn't matter. See, the Bible tells us that if you want forgiveness, you need to give forgiveness. You can't go to heaven with an unforgiving spirit, an unteachable spirit. You don't want that. And that is a huge, huge, huge problem if you have an unteachable spirit. You need to listen to your pastor, the man of God in your life. You need to listen when he says, when he corrects you. You know, so many times it seems like our people nowadays, and not within the church, but just people in general, have an unteachable spirit. They're told the right thing. They know the right thing, but they're just saying, no, I don't want nothing to do with it because I want to continue down the road that I'm going. When we sin, we have compounding effects of sin in our lives. I want to tell you that there's someone always watching you. You know, I think of somebody very dear to me who used to come to church here. He was a good man. He used to teach in Sunday school, and he left Sunday school. He left church. He went out into the world. He wanted to live on his own, but I don't think he realized all the lives that he touched and how many lives were impacted by when he left. Think about that next time you just want to walk away from Jesus. There's always someone watching you, whether it's your children, other children. How many times have people posted videos on YouTube or on the internet because they've been caught? They didn't think they were being watched, and someone got it on camera, some embarrassing moment. I just wanted to read this quote. You don't have to be a person of influence to be influential. In fact, the most influential people in my life are probably not even aware of the things that they've taught me. This is written by a man named Scott Adams. It's so true, though. How many times people have influenced your life? How many times has Bishop influenced our lives and fed and spoken into our lives and probably doesn't even realize it when the men of God speak in our lives? Or other people, what sources are you allowing into your lives? Praise God. I'm going to be short tonight, but I'm going to ask our musicians to come. But I want to talk about fighting back. Fighting back. So we've already revealed the enemy. We've already revealed who he is. We've already revealed what he is and ways that he gets into our lives. But we need to come to a point where we have to say, you know what? No matter how bad I am, if you want to get back up and fight the good fight, no matter how many times the enemy has tripped you up and drug you down, you know what? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, for a just man falleth 7 times, but he gets back up again. We have a Savior in Jesus Christ. Jesus is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. And he cares for us. The Bible tells us that he loves you. He loves you so much that he died for you on a cross. He took nails in his hands, took nails in his feet for you. The reason he did that is because we are all sinners. Nobody is worthy of going to heaven. Jesus paid the ultimate price for you and for me. You know, admitting your place and your dependence on Jesus is a huge piece too. When we come to a point where we say, God, I've fallen down. I've fallen down, Lord, and I can't get back up, but I need you. We need to lay our dependence on Jesus. We need to say, God, I depend on you. We need to find a place and repent of our sins. Repentance is just simple. It's turning away from your sins. It's turning to God and saying, God, I'm sorry for my sins. We need to pray. We need to pray. And we're not talking about just our shopping list prayers, but we need to get on our knees, folks, and pray. We need to pray. We need to pray the scriptures. That is a huge prayer advantage to overcoming situations in your life. I never knew the power of that, but when you open God's word, I challenge you. Open God's word, and the next time you're reading it, put yourself in that scripture. Read the scripture and just say, God, help me not to be like this, or God, I want to be on fire for you just like they were. God, help me not to be foolish like this. Pray the scripture. Pray the scripture. Plead the blood of Jesus. Overcoming the devil is... How many devils would touch you if you're drenched and covered with the blood of Jesus? You're so covered and drenched with the God of heaven's blood that there ain't no devil in hell gonna touch you. Fasting. We talked about it before, but fasting is defeating ourselves. We need to come to a place where we fast. Where you say, Brother Rick, I can't fast. I can't fast. Well, give up something. Start somewhere. It all starts with one step. Taking that step. We need to suit up, folks. We talked earlier about Ephesians and Paul in prison. And he wrote about the armor of God. We need to put on the armor of God. We need to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to gird our loins with the truth. Place the breastplate of righteousness upon us. Place the shield of faith in our hands and the sword of the Spirit in our other hands. We need to place the helmet of salvation upon our heads. These are things that will help us overcome the enemy. Praise God. And the Bible says at the end of Ephesians, and all supplications for all saints, That means we need to do it together. We need to pray for one another. See, there's times when we see our brothers and sisters are having weaknesses. We're not supposed to point at them and laugh, but we're supposed to extend a hand to them and say, come on, I'm here for you. Get back up again. I'm here for you. I want to see you succeed. And there's going to come a day when you may be hurting, and God will use someone else to lift you up. Please stand. I want my stuff back. How many of you are here today and you want to say, I want my stuff back? You think of the situations in your life where the enemy has robbed you, has stolen from you. You think about how the devil has maybe taken some of your loved ones out of this church. I want my stuff back. Maybe you've been caught up in sin. I want my stuff back. Here is the real truth behind the devil. The real truth. Isaiah 14:16. And they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth tremble, that did shake the kingdoms? What they're saying is that someday we're going to look upon the devil. We're going to see him for what he truly is, that little imp that's been messing with us. Sometimes in our lives, we get intimidated by the enemy and we say, I can't go any further. He's too strong. But the Bible says right here that we're going to look at him and like a little chihuahua. We're going to be like, that's the thing that's been tripping me up for all these years? That's the thing that's been telling me the lies? You may not have been listening to that. Come on, folks. We gotta rise up above that enemy. Amen? Praise God. So we want to invite you here tonight to come to this altar area. If there's some stuff in your life that you've been struggling with, it may be a stronghold, or maybe you're overwhelmed with depression or the enemy has just got you down. And you just want to come up here and just reclaim some of that stuff. You just say, devil, I want it all back. I am not going to make any deals with you. But see, because I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want it all back. I want my loved ones back. I want my home back. I want my marriage back. I want my children back. He's here today and God is ready to deliver. God is ready to set free. But all you have to do is trust him. To open up that door in your heart and say, God, I want to let you in right now. I want you to come and minister in my heart, in my life. I want to hit the reset button like Pastor Roy said. I want to hit that reset button and I want to allow you, God, to minister in my life. God, reset me, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. There is power in the blood. Hallelujah.